Hello and welcome to another All About Symbian podcast, and this week it's all about insight number 3. I'm once again joined by my two colleagues who are going to say hello now.
Steve Litchfield here in Reading.
And Ewan Spence here in cyberspace, or Edinburgh if you need a physical place.
And I'm Rafe and I'm down in Sussex, and this week we're going to be talking about some of the issues that are concerning the Symbian world. But before we do that, we're just going to mention the fact that Nokia World starts tomorrow. Well, in fact, you'll be starting next week because we're recording this in advance. Nokia World is, of course, the big Nokia conference that happens about this time every year, and we'll be bringing you live coverage from it, so watch out for that. We'll have our normal All About Insight in a week's time, and we'll be covering some of the issues out of Nokia World then. But this week, I believe we're going to be talking about music, and I think Ewan's going to give us the introduction to the subject.
Ba, 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 ba. See, in the old days, what was a music device was really easy. It was that dodgy record player you got out of Woolworths that could stack 5 or 6 singles on the spindle. Steve probably knows what I'm talking about. And Rafe, look it up on Wikipedia. Nowadays, of course, smartphones, music phones, it's a very blurred edge. Nokia have already, you know, effectively become the biggest camera manufacturer on the planet because of the amount of mobile phones that now carry cameras. And they're looking to do the same thing with music devices as well. And the same goes for Sony Ericsson, who specifically have that very strong Walkman range. And of course, you cannot mention the iPhone in this context. So you can't mention it. I just have. So the first question, and I'll throw this out to the other two guys, is what actually makes a music phone a music phone?
I would say, from my perspective, anything that can play stereo music of reasonable quality. Now, there are lots of other people out there who would say, oh, no, it's got to do gapless playback, it's got to do cover flow and umpteen playlist functions. But, hey, I just listen to music 3 or 4 times a week on a bus or train, and if it plays all the way through Dark Side of the Moon or, I don't know, The Strangler's Greatest Hits, I'm happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky question, isn't it? Because you get different degrees of music phone, but to my mind, at least, pretty much every smartphone will play music. But for my money, to be an actual music phone, there's a couple of key features that you just have to have, one of which is a headphone socket, so people can listen using their regular headphones. If not, it needs to have an adapter, but frankly, adapters are just a pain in the neck because it's one more thing you can lose. I think I'd also put in stereo Bluetooth as a sort of essential, because that gives another way of listening to music. And it's something I use and I think is particularly effective. But it also means you can get things like a Bluetooth streamer and connect it to your stereo. And there's also Bluetooth speakers and stuff like that. And, you know, connecting into an in-car system is a lot easier if you're going to use it for music. Other essentials? Well, I think you also have to consider sort of the software, you know, whether it's got a decent music player, whether it's got a decent bit of PC sync software, and possibly even the music store as well. I mean, it's not just necessarily about the device.
I think the one that gets me is having dedicated music keys. One of the things I can remember, even going back to my very first Walkman, which wasn't even a Walkman, it was a Philips personal stereo, was the fact that I could operate it in my pocket without having to look at the device. With a Walkman, it's very linear. There's no such things as playlists or anything like that. Obviously, cassette Walkman I'm talking about there. Again, Rafe, cassettes, look them up on Wikipedia. You could just reach in and know which one was the play, the stop, the fast-forward button. And then, of course, technology advanced, and you can also have a rewind button as well on your Walkman, and they were in different places. And that was very important to me in my cassette players, in the mini disc players, and now in the mobile phones, the phones that have those dedicated buttons, the N81 is the obvious one here, but also the N95 with its recessed media buttons as well. Being able to not have to lift it out, look at it, look at a complicated interface, move cursors and buttons and things around. If I want to go to the next track, I can just reach in and go next track, and not really have to think about it. It's almost like an extension of the user interface. That sort of physical interface needs to be thought through for music. And it's one of the reasons that I look at the iPhone and the iPod Touch and go, it's not really a music device, is it? Because I need to actually take it out, and look at it. And, you know, I travelled a lot on the London Underground when I was living there. And the last thing I would want to do is pull out a £400 or £500 bit of kit and start fiddling around with it and then put it back in my pocket. And everybody knows, aha, he can't hear me sneaking up because he's got headphones on and he's got something expensive. So I think that the physical interface is very important. The PC sync is a tricky one. I don't think any company's really got that worked out. iTunes is the closest, but it has a lot of problems.
And it's normally locked down just to the iPods, basically.
Agreed, yes. I mean, there is a workaround. You can highlight and use your PC's interface to highlight tracks in iTunes, copy them with the right click of the mouse button, and then paste them into a directory structure. But again, it's not perfect. Nokia and many others have went down the road of using the Microsoft's Windows Media Player and its built-in synchronizing function. But again, it's very limiting. Generally, you have to use the latest version of Windows Media Player, which means you have to use the latest version of IE, which means you have to use the latest version of Microsoft's update pack. So you're forced to constantly put more and more stuff onto your PC. It stops people who use Linux and Apple devices, although I do believe that Nokia have got some interface now with the i whatever applications.
Sony Ericsson have their Walkman software. I'm just trying to remember the name of the software.
They have two. They have Easy CD, which is almost, you drop your CD in and 5 minutes later all the music is on your phone. Which is a great out-of-the-box experience for people who don't play around. But their interface to get existing music on your PC onto the Sony Ericsson is cumbersome at best. You still have to be aware of the directory structure on both devices to use it properly, for example.
So that probably suggests that there's not just one, you know, way to do it, because different people use their music in different ways and get it onto devices in different ways. So it's not, you know, just a one bit of software. So Sony Ericsson seem to have got it right for the people who are just transitioning their CDs on, but not so much for the power users who already have a significant music collection.
That's a really good point. Yes, I think that would be fair.
So we're talking a little bit about what makes the ideal device. So for you guys, you know, what do you which Symbian phones do you think actually make would you consider a music device, or are there different classes of these, you know, devices that you'd put in different categories?
I would say the N95 is a pretty good all-rounder that copes with music fairly well. As Ewan said, it's not completely ideal, but you can operate it invisibly in your pocket. And especially the 8GB model with the same capacity as the iPhone, etc., blah, blah, blah. You can certainly put a huge amount of music on there. So I think the N95 8GB would be my current device of choice.
I think, given the fact that these phones are, you know, the phone is what you grab to put in your pocket for the day, I'm going to agree with Steve as well. It's the N95. Yes, the N81 8GB is a dedicated music. It's pitched as a dedicated music device. It has the 8GB, and it actually has slightly better sound reproduction than the N95 due to the digital chip. But I prefer the N95 mostly because it's an all-rounder. The advantages I get in music on the N81, they don't outweigh moving down from a 5 megapixel Carl Zeiss camera to a 2 megapixel Nokia plastic camera. So I still think the N95 is good for the day-to-day music. I keep maybe about 3 or 4 albums on there, which, you know, when I'm out and about, that's really all I need. If I'm going on one of my super long stupid trips around America, I'll carry a dedicated music player. I don't think that these devices are suitable for multi-hour long journeys. Battery life is too precious on a mobile phone when you're traveling to waste on music.
Yeah,
that's an interesting perspective. I'm just going to highlight one other device which I think is quite good, and that's a Nokia 5700. It's a slightly older device, but it's also cheaper and probably more accessible to more people. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's one of the Nokia devices that has a twist on the bottom to twist between music and camera modes, and it too has sort of dedicated music controls. And I know that's fairly popular, particularly in some of the Asian markets, as a music device. And it is worth stating, of course, that all of these devices do music, but the one thing that's interests me also that I'd like to get your opinion on, guys, is the N95 comes in two versions, N95 and N95 8GB. which begs the question, how much capacity do you actually need for a mobile music player? And obviously this is going to vary on each person, but you know, we've already heard Euron doesn't carry that much music about with him. But for the typical user, what do you think is necessary?
I would just like to chip in here that it's not just about music, because these days there's the issue of videos as well, and I don't know if I'm unusual, but in addition to, like you, and the 8, 10, 12 albums I like to, of my favourite albums I want to keep on me for train journeys, I also have a collection of, I don't know, half a dozen 100 megabyte videos, clips, MP4 video clips, and then there's the usual stuff like the Nokia map stuff, which takes another 100 or 200 megabytes. So I would say the 8 gigabyte or a 4 gigabyte or 6 gigabyte micro SD card are pretty much essential these days, certainly with my media tastes. What about you guys?
I would say 4 gigabytes about the right size as well. If I'm just going out and about, I'm not going to carry video, Steve. But again, if I do a long travel, actually I'm going to be really evil here. I chuck the Sony PlayStation Portable in my bag. It's a much bigger screen. It's a much nicer screen. And most of my MP4s have been re-rendered to fit into that space. Again, it comes down to when I travel, I don't like to use my mobile phone's battery for anything other than, you know, mobile functions. I don't want to use it frivolously. When you're doing 30 hours door-to-door in America, you know, you've got to watch the battery power. So I tend to put music on a music device, video on a video device, and communications on a communications device. I think 4 gig is about the right number. I carry about, only about 600 meg of music day to day, 200 meg in maps, and at least 200 meg on a 1 gig card free for photos. I think people that were using it seriously, because I am an edge case in how I consume media, I think that people can, you know, go along with like a 1 or 2 gig music collection, 1 gig for video, 500 for photos and stuff. 500 meg left over then for applications and day-to-day running on the disk.
Yeah, so we've just found out that Ewan is not living the convergence lifestyle, so he will be
Never lived the convergence lifestyle.
We'll be punishing him later, but actually it's a topic we should come back to in a future podcast. Do you carry multiple devices or one device, and what's the reasoning for that? But I'd agree with you guys about 4 gigabytes is about what you need if you're including things like Nokia maps, music, video, and images. I mean, I don't know, I carry several hundred megabytes worth of photos because I'm not that good about transferring stuff off the phone. So it's always good to have more capacity. But I think if you're looking at a kind of a multimedia centric device, you need about 4 gigabytes of external memory just to sort of start it off, and people use it in different ways. So having looked at the devices, obviously the next thing I think we should have a quick discussion about is the recently launched Nokia Music Store, which I know we've all had a chance to use, because this has been making a lot of headlines recently. We'll come on to some alternative options later on, but can I get a quick opinion from each of you on what you think of the Nokia Music Store?
Putting aside any sort of political discussion about music labels and cost of tracks and money that goes to the artists and licensing and stuff, I think it's slightly above average.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's a pretty good first step. I would point to quite a few rough edges and things that obviously Nokia know they've got to improve, like the range of devices it's compatible with.
I'd hope they know they have to improve.
It's rather scandalous almost that they've launched this wonderful store and put all this effort into the marketing of Kylie and the Killers and these exclusive albums, and yet only people with the very, very recently launched N81, N95 gigabyte can technically browse it on the phone and buy it on the phone. Now, the N95 firmware update last week, that's certainly going to bring those people on board once Nokia get the hooks sorted out in their music store. But there's a lot of other Nokia S60 devices with WMA support, Express Music capability. And I cannot see any reason for the life of me why they haven't stuck up a client, or at least even a homepage for the music store that you can access an S60 web for people there to download and preview and buy. I think they're deliberately or accidentally restricting the early take-up.
I think there's threefold there. The first one is, as far as I can tell, when you open up the music client on the 81 or either of the 95s, it's just opening up a dedicated web browser window. And the sort of management is being done by Windows Media Player certificates and using that for the DRM capabilities. So I don't think that, you know, it's a case of recoding clients or having to do anything special. I think it's just a simple matter of doing a proper SysX installation on the certification. So I don't see any technical reason why it's being held up. But again, we come back to this Nokia segmented approach to the market, which is if you want a music phone, it is the N81, and the N95 because it does all the other stuff as well. It leaves behind things like the E51i because it's an enterprise device. You obviously won't want to listen to music on it. It leaves behind the E90. And we're seeing the same thing in the music store that we're seeing on the N-Gage side as well. We've just had our survey done up on All About Symbian where the N-Gage gaming device that wanted to have the most appreciation, rearrange those words into a sentence because I can't, people want the E90 to be able to run the N-Gage games. That's an enterprise device, it's not in this department. I think Nokia's problem is that they've got lots of phones, that's great. Each one of them has allowed 2 or 3 bullet points in Carphone Warehouse or in stores, so therefore that's all that phone can do. I don't think that scalability is a problem. The music stories is a white box version from a company that they bought about a year and a half to 18 months ago. It's effectively a standard Windows music store that's being run for the Zune, that's been run for players that are coming from all around the world from different clients. I mean, even Dell, when they had their MP3 player, which lasted all of about 3 months before they went, this is a bad idea, used a variant of the Windows Media Store. So I don't see it being an infrastructure problem. I really think it's a philosophical problem from Nokia that they only want one phone to do one thing, whereas people like ourselves want one phone to do everything.
Well, I think I'm going to sort of butt in a little bit there and defend Nokia a little bit, although that's somewhat difficult on the music storefront. But I think you have to remember that the music store is using the Windows Media DRM. As I recall, I think it's the Janus Fairplay system, and not all the devices that have shipped with the software to support that on board. I mean, it could be added by a firmware upgrade, but notably the E-series lack support for that, and certainly some of the earlier N-series, which I think explains why those devices aren't supported. The fact that they could be supported, and some of the ones that do support the Windows Media DRM, for example, the N76, aren't supported on the store, and I definitely think Nokia should bring in support for those devices. I'd also say they've actually done considerably more than what used to be the Laodai Music solution, for example, adding the mobile capability and creating what they call the Nokia Music Bar, which is used to do the downloads. Now, one of the interesting things that we know is coming up soon is a dedicated Windows application that will be the Nokia Music client. So I think that could change things quite a bit because it'll be a far more dedicated experience. It won't be via a web browser. And I think that will help things somewhat, especially as there's some limitations on at the moment. For example, Nokia Music Store is UK only. It will spread to other markets in due course, but more seriously, to my mind, it's Internet Explorer only, which is a bit irritating. So, I mean, do you guys think there'll be an impact when they move to a client application model for the music store?
My honest feeling is no. Because it will still require IE7. I mean, at the moment you need to have an ActiveX control for the music bar. You need to install more stuff on your PC. I think that the whole, if you take a step back and look at what the Microsoft Music Store plan is globally, I think that you'll continue to need to have the latest version of IE7, the latest version of Windows Media Player. All of those will need to be on, and it will literally just be a skin on top of a browser window, which is how Nokia are doing it on their handsets as well. So I don't expect to see a huge increase in uptake.
To be fair, talking about Internet Explorer only, the people a music store generally is aimed at tends to be people who aren't power users, because people like yourselves and myself, I'm not going to buy any DRM music, period. And I don't know anyone who does. We buy CDs, and they're owned by us, and we rip them in any format we want, to any device we want, without any restrictions. Apart from British law. But the novice user, that if they're new to computers and not that technical, they're not happy bundling MP3s around WMAs and ripping, then they're probably using Microsoft Internet Explorer because they don't know any different, and they've never even heard of Firefox. So I don't see the IE7 and Windows Media Player 11 being that big a restriction in the long term.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. The other thing, of course, to realise is a lot of people will never go near the PC version for downloading the music. They'll just do everything from their phone. And we're in the UK, we're in a market where typically people do have a PC, but there are big sales of N-series devices in, say, India and to a lesser extent China, and a lot of those people won't have access to a PC, so would be more than happy just to use a phone-only solution. I think it's easy to forget that. You know, you have to step back from your own experience and realise that some people will do everything from a phone-centric point of view.
I think that's the key value proposition from the music store, to switch into business speak for a moment, so apologies to everybody. The fact that it can be an impulse thing, the fact that you can pull out and go, ah, I've just heard Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue do that duet. I wonder if it's in the music store. And away you go, and it's easy enough to find out on the spot. If you have to spend 5 minutes thinking about it, you'll realise that downloading everything for you is a really bad idea, and you won't do it. But this way Nokia can grab the impulse sale. And we've already seen in things like the ringtone market that actually drives more value and more bottom line income than having to wait and come back and actually sit down and remember that you wanted to download some crass duet from Neighbours in 1987.
I think that's right. And also what's easy to forget when we're talking about the limitations of what devices are supported, in a year or so's time, you know, there are going to be literally tens of millions of devices that support the Nokia Music Store. That's going to be a significant installed user base. So although things may not seem brilliant at the moment, I think you have to look a bit further ahead with that sort of thing. The other thing I wanted to get your guys' opinion on is operators have done their own music store, and I know I've had some experience using the Three and the Orange music stores. Have you guys ever used an operator music store, and if not, why not?
I've never used a music store.
Okay, thank you, Ewan. And what about you, Steve?
There we go, next!
Like I say, I've never used a music store in anger. I've only ever used test credit for given to be my PR agencies. We're not, Ewan, Rafe, and myself, we are not typical users. I don't think we can even validly answer this question.
Okay, well, I'm just going to briefly mention the Orange and the Three Music Store, which operate along very similar lines. And basically, they do a very similar thing. There's a mobile version. The PC version is actually less well done, although you can download music that you've downloaded on your mobile to your PC now. However, the price points tend to be around £1.50, which I just don't really think is realistic, and that's been the main problem that's been holding them back. And I also think people don't like being tied into their operator brand. So, you know, with regard to music source, do you think people are going to be more willing to be tied into something like the Nokia brand because it's at a higher level and maybe we'll be able to transition more between devices or between operators? Is that going to be more attractive to the end user?
I think what's going to be most attractive to the end user is you can re-download your tracks. That's something that no other music store that I'm aware of can
Actually,
do.
Three and Orange both support that at the moment.
Okay, strike that. Reverse backup, Charlie.
Okay, so I mean, I think it's an interesting one, and I actually think it's basically the power of the Nokia name and also just the sheer numbers of devices involved that will make this successful rather than necessarily being technically competent. Or that's obviously an important angle, but I think we all know that they will get there eventually. Whether it will be quite the equal of the so-called Apple tripod experience with the iTunes, iPod and on the PC, and as we're seeing now on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, is maybe more open to debate, but Nokia already sell more S60 phones than iPods are sold, and I think that trend is probably only going to increase in the next year. So I just want to get...
And not by a small margin, by a very big margin.
It's by a very substantial margin. So I was just... There's a couple of other things about the music store that intrigued me, and I know Ewan's got an interest in this, and the idea of having a wallet rather that you sort of preload the money into rather than buying in fixed amounts. What's your opinion on that, Ewan?
It's the plot from Superman 3 all over again, isn't it? So, when you want to buy something, I've just called up the music store in front of me now, and I'm looking at Hawkwind Silver Machine, just for Steve. So the good news is they do have a very wide selection of Hawkwind. So Space Rituals in here, Space Days 2000, stuff is there. Yeah. But it's 80p. Now, I can't just pay 80p. I had to load up my wallet with a set amount of money beforehand. And if I just go to the buy credit, I can pay £8, £20, £40 or £80. There's no option there for me just to put in 80p. And I just find that annoying, that I mean, I can understand the reason why you would want to load up your account beforehand, so you can go out, you can do the impulse buys on your mobile phone. I just don't like the idea that I can't tell it how much I want to pay. If I've got a fiver spare, I can't put £5 in. I have to put in £8. It's almost like the same way. You've got the money, you might as well upsell on and do an impulse purchase because we've already got the money. And I just find that hand-holding and not fully trusting the user, I don't like.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective.
And of course, yeah, it's the plot of Superman 3 as well, that Nokia is going to be earning interest on this money that sits in the account.
Yeah, no, I think that's very interesting. But looking at something positive, I know you've got a view on the local angle that Nokia's taken with the music store. Perhaps you can tell us a bit about that. As in sort of local music and that sort of thing. Hello?
Is Ewan gone? While Ewan recovers his microphone and his connection, just one point, going back to the ATP per track, I should point out that Ewan mocks me for liking progressive rock and bands like Genesis and Hawkwind and Pink Floyd. A 20-minute track for ATP is darn good value. And this is where people who are birthed in the 70s get far better value than people who are birthed in the modern age, where tracks are 2 minutes 30 seconds. So Yabu sucks. I've got Pink Floyd Echoes for ATP.
Yes, yes. An entire modern album isn't as long as Echoes. Come on, Steve. I mean, we can get an entire album from Montrose for about £1.60 and it lasts just 3 hours.
Okay, so we've now got Ewan back on the
Montrose,
call.
Montrose, look them up on Wikipedia, Rafe.
I'm going to have to be using Wikipedia a lot after this call. So Ewan, what I was asking you about before you disappeared was the local music angle on the Nokia Music Store. And do you have an opinion on that?
I actually think this is one area where they could do very well. It's not present at the, it's kind of present at the moment, but because there's not a huge amount of local stores, there's only a UK store. The idea that Nokia are going to be doing is that local bands, unsigned bands, bands signed to small labels, you still need to be signed up. They'll be able, so in the Finnish store, they'll be able to promote Finnish bands like Lordi, for example. In the UK store, they'll be able to promote, young hip and up-and-coming bands like Girls Aloud, as I can see at the store just now. In America, they'll be able to take on, how do you do a local American band? I mean, that's really difficult. But the idea is that each sort of region will have its own sort of subset of this stuff is really good that's close to you. And I like the idea that it's not just mainstream top 40 music and classic hits of yesteryears that are going to be on here. It's an avenue for young bands to drive forward. And we're seeing that in modern music nowadays. I mean, there's a band from Kidderminster called Koopa. Now, they've been unsigned, but they've already had 3 top 40 hits in the UK purely from their internet fans and internet downloads. And Nokia are really embracing that idea that online is a valid route for new music to get to small fan bases. And I really hope that they focus on that and they don't shortchange it, and they actually allow both unsigned and very small boutique labels to get involved into the store as well.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It'd be great to see that sort of support coming in because...
Steve, Cooper, they're a young up-and-coming band. Look out, they're in Wikipedia.
You haven't mentioned Shed Music yet, Ewan.
For those who aren't aware, Shed Music is Steve's own band, and I'll see if I can find a link to some of their music to put into the show notes.
Oh no.
You shouldn't have said that, Steve. So I think that pretty much covers everything we wanted to do with music, unless Ewan or Steve had anything more to add.
I think the big question I have in the Nokia Music Store is how it's set up financially back-end. And by that, I don't mean where do they get the credit card processing from. I mean, is it set up as a loss leader? Is it set up to be sort of roughly revenue neutral? Or is it there to make a profit? iTunes Music Store, rather famously, doesn't run at a very great profit. On the balance sheets, it's pretty much revenue neutral. I mean, it's like, $10,000 or something, up or down. There's very little value to Apple financially, but there's a lot of value in having it there as an added service to make people buy iPods. Now, Nokia, of course, do make money from the handsets, but I really would love to know if their music store is following that same sort of revenue neutral, providing a service to increase the value of the handsets in the same way that they do with things like Nokia Maps, things that they're hoping to do with the OV Music Store, or whether they're hoping to run it actually at a profit, as it looks to be what they're doing with the N-Gage stores.
Well, I think my perspective on this is, I think initially at least it's not really going to be making much money, but Nokia will have an advantage over Apple just in pure economies of scale terms, and eventually they'll have that many devices hopefully using it if it's a success, and that's obviously a big if in some of the issues we've talked about.
But the question there is are you going to use that economy of scale to drive profit or to drive more awareness of the store?
I think initially it'll probably be a bit about awareness of the school of the store, but in time I do think it'll be a profit-based thing. But obviously it is something that's open to debate, and clearly Nokia are looking to open up new revenue streams with the OV strategy, so I would assume the same would apply to music, at least long-term. Initially is probably a more complex question. So I think that's all the time we've got for our music, and we'll just very briefly do our regular look at software. I know Ewan's had his beady eye on something this week that's actually come out for the Nokia tablets. That's the MAMO platform. So do you want to tell us a bit about that, Ewan?
Yeah, basically, I want this on Symbian OS. But Access, who are now the owners of the Palm operating system, which they bought from Palm Source, which was spun out of Palm Inc., which became Palm, which then became Palm Inc. back to Palm again, have actually released the Palm OS emulator, the N800. Now, what this does is basically, on the touchscreen N800 Linux device, it gives you a Palm Pilot. It gives you the 160 by 160 screen. It gives you the graffiti space at the bottom. It's a perfect emulator. But two things that I love, right? Firstly, the memory is persistent, which means if you leave a contact or a diary or an address book details in that client, it will always be there, even when you switch it off and bring it back up again. The second is you can actually still sync to the Palm desktop software on your PC or on your Mac, even though it's being on a tablet. So what you have is you have this entirely enclosed operating system on top of another operating system, but it's a very good organizer operating system, because it's going back to the earlier Palm OS. This is Palm OS that ran on the Pilot 1000, Pilot 5000, the Palm 3s, and the Palm 5Xs. It was back when software was simple. It did what it did with nothing flashy. Yet there's more and more people I'm seeing using this as their day-to-day diary, as their contacts, as their to-do list, and their tasks. Now, those are four areas that I think that Siri 60 especially has let itself down in. The tasks and the Notepad applications, you know, are there for show. They cannot be used in anger. The calendar application, well, anything's a downward step from the Series 3C, but there you go. And contacts is one thing we're not Nokia does score, but to have you know, this small, dedicated, well done PDA on a smartphone, I think it would be a very smart move. Access don't have a huge amount of revenue stream. Palm, as a hardware manufacturer, is looking more and more at Windows every time. I would be quite happy right now to pay a licensing fee, you know, 10, 20, £20 over to Access, so I can run a Palm OS emulator window on my Series 60 handset.
So Ewan's a bit old school there. I mean, I don't actually agree.
You'd never guess that, would you?
I mean, I think the calendar and notes are okay on S60, not Series 60. You and I would hasten to add. But
you're not going to get me for typoing in a podcast, are you?
Yeah, afraid so.
Well, I'm going to get Rafe for typoing the podcast, because Nokia would be jumping up and down by now because you pronounced it as Ovi rather than Ovi just now, and that's a huge thing as well.
There we go. So yeah, we're all guilty of it. But so I've got some good news for you in that there's a company called StyleTap that's actually working on a Palm emulator that's going to run on the S60 phones, which we'll probably see in the new year, and we'll talk a bit more about that then. But I think that's a good way to wrap up the All About Insight for this week, and I'd like to say thank you all for listening. Any feedback, it's rafe@allaboutsymbiont.com, or use the feedback form on the website. And it's bye from me, and bye from Stephen Ewan.
Cheers. Bye.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.